Okay, closed session report. Rob, do we have any closed session report?
Good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, councilmen in closed session on one item. This was the annual evaluation of the city manager and the city attorney under personnel issues. No action was taken by the council that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Oh, okay. This was an announcement that just got passed to me that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So, to be aware of various things going on about that. Okay, public comment period. Please come forward, limit your comments to 3 minutes, and we have no public hearings for them to be in conflict with, so open floor. Mr. McCurdy.
Good evening, members of the council. My name is Jack McCurdy. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, speaking as an individual, someone who has participated in the review of the proposed Morro Bay power plant for 6 years. Much of the life of Morro Bay as a county town and city has evolved around this power plant, and we now are at a crossroads. Duke Energy, the plant owner, has announced it will sell the plant and leave California, and that it will sell to anyone, another power producer or not. No one knows what Duke's plans are beyond that, and certainly no one knows who a buyer may be or what its plans may be for the 107-acre site. We are faced with a unique opportunity. My question is, why wait to seize the moment? Let's have a community discussion of the alternatives, including a new power plant. If the community decides it wants a new plant, knowing the potential risk and consequences, so be it. I'll accept that. My problem is that the community was not informed in the year 2000 when it voted in favor of an advisory ballot measure supporting a new plant. Citizens were fed a diet of propaganda, falsehoods, and misleading, quote, facts, end quotes, by Duke, the Sun Bulletin, and the Tribune, with complicity by the sitting council at that time. That ballot measure cannot stand as voter endorsement of a new plant today. For one thing, it promised a new plant and demolition of the existing one by 2007, neither of which can now happen. It was predicated on the project complying with, quote, all regulatory laws, ordinances, regulations, and standards, end quote. That cannot happen either because the Energy Commission staff, the Coastal Commission, California Department of Fish and Game, and National Marine Fisheries Service all opposed the proposed plant because it would withdraw water from the estuary, which kills significant numbers of fish and crab larvae, and that no amount of habitat restoration would offset that damage to marine life. The Energy Commission did approve the project and its use of estuary water, but that decision is not final, and the Regional Water Quality Control Board has not reviewed the case. So the terms of that ballot advisory clearly have not been met. Therefore, there is no way of knowing what this council's constituents want. So let's find out before doing anything else. It is expected that the council will be faced later this month with decisions on new leases, new outfall leases, to allow the plant, and possibly a new one, to withdraw estuary water in order to operate. You cannot rely on other agencies to decide whether either plant meets environmental standards because there is no consensus or agreement among them. Therefore, you must, for the first time, reach a conclusion about whether the impacts to the estuary from the existing plant or a new plant are acceptable to your community, not some distant agency. That conclusion will be inherent in your decision to sign the outfall lease, whether stated or not. Thank you.
Thank you.
With our citizens, there are many issues that need to be discussed with the community, and they all tie into whether Morro Bay wants to be a party to allowing this plan to operate with better alternatives may exist for our city. If the community thinks it should be about money, then let's analyze income from uses such as a hotel, convention center, world-class aquarium, marine-related commercial facilities, or a maritime museum. Ecotourism is big business in some coastal communities and could be a big attraction and revenue producer if the estuary and its wildlife were not counseled out by the power plant with emissions coming from its smokestacks and the marine death caused by once-through cooling. There may be practical ways to encourage developments that would produce revenue without jeopardizing the estuary and the health of our citizens, but you don't know None of us know, because the council has not sought out this information. It is time to stop and find out what is possible and what the community wants. A new outfall lease would cast a cloud over such a discussion. Therefore, hold off on renewing the outfall lease. Let the citizens of Morro Bay have the opportunity to hear and decide on these important issues in a democratically run forum where all the important and knowledgeable experts can have their say. And I'm not against necessarily the plant running. I think we should talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Herschel Parker, resident of Morro Bay. I understand that Duke has not made payments on its outfall property lease for almost a year, and yet may want to renew the lease now that it's trying to sell the plant. I oppose renewing the lease when we don't know who might buy the plant. We've heard from Jack McCurdy 5 minutes ago, and a lot of us saw McCurdy's commentary in the New Times this week. Here, McCurdy imagines what might go on the 107 acres if the city bought the plant, an aquarium or a marine museum or open space. Now, you can dismiss McCurdy as a dreamer. When I first met him 2 years ago, he was dreaming of replacing an anti-environmental mayor and city council with a pro-environmental mayor and city council. Oh, well, maybe he's a practical dreamer, and maybe we should listen to him when he complains that the power company sucks the life out of the estuary and exposes people to asthma and other diseases. Maybe he's right that we could profit from revenue from ecotourism once the plant site is turned to other uses. McCurdy says in this article that the estuary is the lifeblood of Morro Bay and Los Osos. Now, the plant which is damaging the estuary is the second symbol of Morro Bay, right up there with Morro Rock. Maybe someone will get Los Osos to clean up after itself soon. We can do our part by refusing to renew the outfall lease and by planning for the future prosperity, beauty, and health of Morro Bay without the plant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Keith Taylor. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm representing the Friends of the Morro Bay Fire Department. I would like to encourage the community to attend the fire department's open house to be held on October 22nd from 12 noon to 3 p.m. to meet our firefighters and see the demonstration of their capabilities. The Friends will provide hot dogs and refreshments. We will also be selling raffle tickets for our mini fire engine and bikes, all proceeds to benefit our fire department. The drawing will be held December 4th at the Christmas tree lighting. You all also notice the fortune cookies we placed in front of you. Thanks to one of our directors, Grace Melton, we hope the message inside will keep all of us focused on the job at hand, getting our new fire station and eventually the North Station. At this time, I'd also like to ask how the survey is going and maybe when we'll have the results for the benefit assessment district. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Keith. My name is Joan Carter. I'm from Morro Bay, and I agree with all of the previous commenters on the Duke issue. And now that Duke has, so I'm going to be very brief, but now that Duke has decided to walk, doing very little for the city while they were here, it's all up in the air how that property is going to be used, and I think it's really time for us to take a look at all those options that are out there. And it seems to me that this property is probably the most valuable piece of property in the whole county. I mean, just look at it, as well as being the most beautiful. And certainly we need to have some kind of a vision about how we might look at that property and utilize it to the benefit of Morro Bay. And I think it's just far too soon to sign the future
agreement with Duke Energy on the future of the site. We have printed a standalone flyer version of this petition yesterday. So obviously this is in its infancy. We'd like to get the feedback from our membership and from the general public in the city and the county before you make any further moves towards a lease renewal or agreement with Duke. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mayor Peters and council members. My name is Joe Wallach. I live at 225 Atascadero Road here in Morro Bay. And I would briefly like to address a section of the proposed zoning ordinance update. I'll begin by thanking you for your hard work on this important project and refer you to section 17.18180 regarding standards for recreational vehicle parks. Paragraph E states that the minimum size for an RV space shall be, arbitrarily, 1,800 square feet. This is a major reduction of 38% in the size that we now currently have for the minimum standard. It's 2,900 square feet. This would result in a 38% increase in density in RV parks that are already overcrowded. In addition, all the existing minimum setbacks seem to have been eliminated, further increasing density, consequently increasing impacts on traffic, visual quality of Morro Bay, and depending on the location, upon the environment. I'm referring to the 10-foot setbacks that are required. Current minimum standards are exactly that. They are minimum, bare bones, like the minimum wage. Imagine if we were to reduce that by 38%, the impact. Or if we were to raise the 65 limit speed limit 38%, that would be 90 miles an hour. Now lay off the enforcement officer. I don't think anybody wants to see that happen. 38% is huge. Current minimum standards are exactly that. They are the minimum, and they're not being enforced, as evidenced by the newly constructed Morro Strand RV park, where several of the spaces fail to meet the minimum standard, and all of them are in violation of the 10-foot setback perimeter that's supposed to be around the park. Throwing out the rule book now will only make the existing problem even worse. I don't think it's anyone's intention to create a series of unattractive, overcrowded, parking lot-type parks, yet that's exactly what will result from eliminating any room for aesthetic improvements and landscaping. In other words, sacrificing quality for quantity. Let's not become Pismo North. From a purely practical standpoint, today's RVs are enormous and require a lot of maneuvering room. Most of them have expando rooms on the sides that pop out. If you only require 6 feet of space between the units, by the time all of the pop-outs have been bumped out and the 10 and 12-foot awnings have been kicked out, they're going to be overlapping. This is also a safety issue. We've got the fire department here. They require a 12-foot access to respond. Minimum standards and enforcement of those standards should be a top priority. Stick to the current standards. If anything, we should be raising the bar, not lowering it.
Thank you.
In conclusion, I'd like to ask the council to take a closer
thank
look.
Thank you. I'm sorry. We got your message, and we will look into it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Abe Perlstein, Los Osos, Mayor Peters, council members, staff, and Morro Bay citizens. I'm here to plant a small seed. I have sent out a few emails to council members. This is in regards to echoing the commentary that has just preceded myself. I see for that spot there where the power plant is, in a simplistic way, a combination of an ecotourism magnet and a power-generating facility, a wind-powering generating facility, with windmills that are very large and very slow turning. So they don't have a massive or even recognizable, from what I understand, bird fatality byproduct. However, they do and can provide power for the entire community of Morro Bay with just, I would take a guess, at 6 to 8 towers that are the large megawatt towers that exist. These do exist around the country. They power sometimes one windmill for an entire town of a couple of thousand people. And I also see an aquarium. I liked Mr. McCurdy's idea of an aquarium. I also like a living aquarium where there is actually an inflow and an outflow, so the animals actually have a time to come in and interact, and people are in underwater enclosures, and they can see what's actually happening in Morro Bay underwater. And I hope you might consider that concept of combination eco park, power generating station, and aquarium.
Or were 21 or below. And let's face it, people who are now 21 will be 66 in the year 2050. So what were you thinking? What were your dreams in 1960? If any of you were here in 1960,
oh, yeah.
What were your dreams at that time for the year 2005? Would you have liked to have a voice? Is what's happening now different from what you would have wished if you could have a say? Let's bring in as many young people as we can. Final topic, as an affordable housing strategy, you need a study session on parking as a resource instead of a commons. Instead of parking requirements that everybody pays for, including the auto-free, the smart growth and energy efficient strategy is to actually have lower prices for people who don't need parking. They can pay for a fifth of a guest parking space, that's fine. But parking is a resource. People are willing to pay for it if they need it, and people who don't need it shouldn't. People who don't drive should not, in this day and age of global warming and energy shortage, should not be subsidizing people who do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Phil Hill, Morro Bay resident, and I play one on television. Got one. I'm beating a dead horse, but it was recommended to me a while back. And I went to the Harbor Advisory not too long ago and brought up the thing about the boatyard, okay? And the word was, well, since, and for some reason they chose to tie in the two things I discussed, which are the dock, which they're still using, and the boatyard, which they're not allowing everybody else to use to the large extent. And they lumped it together and said, since that's a source of potential litigation, we choose to hold off on it, okay? Now, I'm sure that's there may be reasons for that, like maybe they're intertwined or something, but I see the dock and the boatyard as being two separate issues. And they said they want to hold off on it, and I can understand that because the wheels of justice move slowly, if at all. And but the problem I have is there's one thing you can't put a hold on, and that's the winter weather storms. We don't know how big they're going to be. We don't know how severe. If we get a high tide and we get a strong wind out of the south, there's going to be a lot of boats that are going to have a hell of a time. And so I think that that's something that should not be let rest. I think it's something we should take responsibility for. And also on the subject of responsibility, I was talking with Susie Schultz from Harbor Festival yesterday, and we were talking about the hard times that the fishing community is having, and how we're not faced with much prospect except for like relying on Duke or becoming a tourist town, you know, and that might not be such a bad thing. I mean, losing the fishing is bad to me, but the tourist thing, you know, if you have a healthy environment and you maintain it responsibly, that's a great thing. I was out paddling the other day in my kayak, I'm sorry, and I was over by the grassy islands and there was all these birds. There was brown pelicans diving around me for fish. There was white pelicans paddling around. There was a white egret, you know. I was just loving it. And I'm getting weird in my old age. I was thinking how beautiful it was. And just the sound of all these birds, you know. And then I got this sinking feeling because I realized that in a few short months, all those birds that were doing what they do naturally are going to be just horridly disrupted by the sound of shotguns right in the middle of the bird festival. How could the city get control of that so we don't have to put up with that? Because we had a large number of people bring that up and say we want to see change. A very large number, and Fish and Game thumb their noses at us. So how could we get control, autonomy of that which we enjoy so much and which is part of our environment and not really theirs? And that's my question. And I think there's going to be something later on tonight that addresses that.
Thank you, Phil.
Good evening, Council. My name is Ed Ewing. I'm speaking as an individual resident of Morro Bay. I disagree with most of the previous speakers that are up here. I've been here for 35 years, and so have a lot of other people who have been a lot longer than I have. That power plant, as far as we're concerned, supported or helped support this community economically. I don't think that hurts a thing. They do. That's their opinion. That's fine. The point is, they have a contract now with PG&E to supply power until 2007 or 8, whatever, 3 years I believe it is. They're going to shut Diablo down and do some maintenance, so they're going to need that power. Whoever buys that power plant will probably have to honor that contract. But also, from the previous speaker's attitudes, I think that they would suspect that we should use tax dollars to buy that property. I disagree. We don't have those tax dollars. Not only is the state in a crunch, you're in a crunch. You don't have a lot of money.
Now, Cayucas, but I have visited you from time to time when we were talking about Duke. And I'll be brief tonight. I just want to share something with me that a Baha'i friend told me once. A problem is a door into opportunity. This is a good time for you to open that door and look at what it's behind it, what might be the future for Morro Bay there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ann Reeves from Morro Bay. Good evening, Mayor, Council. And what a wonderful opening. Open the door. I feel that we've been married to Duke for a long time.
I'm sorry, Bridget, did you get the name? I'm sorry, we had a disruption. Okay, excuse me, the gentleman in the back, could you please hold it down because we have someone speaking? Thank you. Okay, we didn't get your door name, so if you could start over, I'm sorry.
I'll start over. My name is Ann Reeves.
I'm sorry you're not keeping it down. Okay. Let's try it again. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay. Yeah, it is, huh? And I live here in Morro Bay. And I like that line, the door being an opportunity. My take on it is we've been married to Duke for a long time, and now we've reached the point of irreconcilable differences, and it's time to see a divorce lawyer. that said, I have a vision for that property. I have something that I feel will be good for the city, good for the environment, and good for all the businesses in town. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Sylmar, which is up in Pacific Grove. It's a meeting center. It's a small, on the scale of things, convention center. It has cottages. It has a dining hall. It has a gift shop. And it was built by the famous Julia Morgan, and it is a state park facility. It is second only to Perth Castle in revenues. I can't remember how many years it's been there. And it has a meandering boardwalk, and, I mean, ecologically, it's a thing of beauty. And it's booked forever and ever. And I see something like that there. We have, from time to time, had people come forward and say, we need a meeting place. And because we're a small town located next to a small airport, a meeting place was never really, you know, something we could do. It wasn't feasible. But I can just see that over there. And the people, I mean, there could be a kiosk there where they could get tickets to rent kayaks and rent bicycles. It could be showcases from the different shops in town. They wouldn't have to get in their cars. They could walk along the Embarcadero. They could take the trolley uptown. You know, they'd have a front row seat to all the fireworks. And you're talking probably around 300 people, you know, if it was full. And it's something that would be there, like, forever without doing damage to Morro Bay. So anyway, that's my dream. And also, I did look up, I Googled environmental investors. There are people out there who would actually be partners in something like this, because I'm not recommending this be a state park facility at all. I'm saying that the city should get it going. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the interruptions.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is Roger Ewing, Morro Bay resident, and I would like to lend my support to all the previous speakers who came before you tonight, asking you to take caution and to regarding the Duke outfall lease. But primarily, I'm here to support calling for a town hall meeting. And unlike my twin brother, I think town hall meetings are very good. I think everybody gets a chance to speak from all points of view and from all sides. That's what town hall meetings are for. And I think it would be good for you to hear how some of us are thinking these days. It's been 6 years that Duke has been here. Not once do I believe they ever were here to benefit Morro Bay. They were here to benefit Duke. And now that they find out there is no more benefit left, they're leaving. So it's up to us to decide what do we want to do with it. And I would think that it would be wise for you to listen to the public, listen to the citizens, give them an opportunity to come before you and speak. And the best way to do that, as I said, is a town hall meeting. Having said that, I would like to also lend my support to further investigating the possibility of annexing the Back Bay. I'm delighted to see it on the agenda again. Please pursue that. I think there are many benefits to the city and citizen alike, as well as to tourists, if we go down that road positively. Where there's a will, there's a way. Thank you very much. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Roger.
Good evening, David Nelson. I came to comment about a couple things, but first of all, Mr. Ewing represents probably one-third of the people in this town that really believe what he said. But let me tell you, 90% of what he said is off. Pylons into the ground. Remember when we got that guarantee? Because 2,000 pylons going for 3 months in my ear is wrong. You're killing my estuary. All the proof is on the table. To vote for a lease is to vote for further destruction of this. We're working hard to stop it, and we're going to stop it, and that lease is going to be worthless to Duke down the road. And I can see where you want to come and try to recover your, a little bit of your face, because our town has gotten slammed through this whole thing. We've gotten promises after promises from Duke, and now they're walking away from it. And, you know, the alternative is just, you guys just can't, you should be evicting Duke. You'll never be stronger than you are right now. They can't sell that plant without that lease. I saw this go down when Kathy Novak sat on there and PG&E waltzed in here and got everything they wanted so that they could sell it. Same game is being played on you people. Deja vu. Come on. Learn from the past. We've gotten nothing from Duke. You know, contrary to everybody's belief, other than when they were robbing the state, we were making out. We were like riding shotgun from them, as far as I'm concerned. That money we got was all tainted. It was stolen. I mean, that they charged over $3,000 a megawatt here. There's your thief, and this is who you're dealing with. And I'm really mad because I know that this lease is going to come through with this piddly $250,000, which is so absurd when you look at what the water is worth. 16 to 32% of everything in your estuary is being killed. We've got one of the only estuaries left in California. This thing is priceless. You guys are selling it cheap. And yourself, too, I might add.
Hello. My name is Vincent McNamara. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I've never done public speaking, so I'm a little bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Thank you.
Thanks, we all want to hear what you have to say. Don't be nervous.
Okay. Well, I moved to Morro Bay from Canada in 1986. I brought my first son with me, and my second son was born here the following year. All the years that they have lived in Morro Bay, and I couldn't have picked a better place in the world to raise my children. Okay. Saying that, I want to give City of Morro Bay all the credit in the world for taking care of things that are important. The reason I'm here tonight, I would like to put my support behind the annexation of the Back Bay. When we did move to Morro Bay, we had our sailboat trailer down from Canada, and I was unaware what the situation is, and I'm still unaware what the situation is and what you're planning to do with the Back Bay. With regards to the fishing game and everybody that's involved in it. There's people that have been there for 20 years, and my boat has been there for 19 years. I'm really unaware exactly what the plan is. I can tell the council that one day when I was out there with my son, who was born and raised here, we saved the life of an elderly gentleman that had fallen out of his canoe. We got to him and kept him from drowning until, you know, help arrived in the form of the Harbor Patrol and the Coast Guard. As far as the annexation, I realize these things take a long time to go through. We've been issued requests to remove our boats. One of the other things I do have to ask is, I don't know how I'm supposed to remove my boat because of the problem that exists at the dock where the crane facility is. Because of that problem, my boat was the boat that capsized last year by the state park, and I've suffered extensive damage to my vessel. I cannot take it out to Avila on a trip to get it hauled out. It's a 72-year-old wooden vessel, which has historical significance, and it's in severe danger sitting where it is. And I have rented a home in Los Osos specifically to get it out of the water and to restore it. This is one thing I'd like to be able to give and be given a continuation to have my boat in the Back Bay and to figure out when this process will really get going about the annexation. I'd like to know what the general plan is for the Back Bay. And as far as the tourism of the city, there is probably as many tourists that go to the Back Bay and take pictures and photographs. If I had a photograph that has been taken of my boat, also posted in the phone book, this week's Sun Bulletin, I would have enough money to hire a commercial contractor to do the job himself.
I believe you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Corey Wade, ditto, and also I'd like to add to that about the report on the Back Bay, kind of north of Baywood Park. And this was brought about by, not from pollution from us, from the some, 35 boat owners out there. There are people that care about the bay back there. I get compliments about my boat all the time. Every time I'm out there, everybody's coming by and taking pictures. Like the gentleman said before, we're all featured on various pictures everywhere. But this was pollution that came from the California Men's Colony that dumped into Choro Creek, and subsequently the Men's Colony was fined some $600,000, and Morro Bay National Estuary Program and the Fish and Game said, we now have the money to take care of these boats, but they're jumping the gun. We have until the end of the year to move, and I plan on putting a letter together and tell them, I have things to do. I need to look for another mooring. There are responsible boat owners out here, and we care about the bay. We're not dumping sewage in the bay. I haul everything back. I have an inspected vessel that's been inspected in 2004 by the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and I plan to put my boat in dry dock probably sometime in the latter part of this October down in Port St. Louis, and then come back to Morro Bay at my mooring. I also do maintain my own mooring. I dive frequently in the bay, and I have done biological reports on other sailing vessels, and I can tell you that it's teeming with life, and we're not impacting the bay whatsoever. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm nervous also. I don't publicly speak very often, but I'm happy to be here tonight. And I agree. My name is Quill Chase. I live outside of Paso Robles, and my family's been associated with Morro Bay for quite a long time, since the early 70s when my family moved to the area. And we put our first boat in Morro Bay in 1984 on a mooring in the area known as the Back Bay. And we've been maintaining that mooring ever since. The boat that we have currently there has been there since 1994. There's a postcard here featuring the boats there with, you can't see it, but my boat in the center. But the boat's name is the Eohippus. That's the Dawn Horse. There has been a smear campaign recently about the boats in the Back Bay. Some boats are derelict and pretty obviously abandoned, but I think the bulk of the boats represent someone's hope and aspiration at some level. And I know mine does, and I put work in on it. I dive on the mooring, as Corey does on his mooring, and do the repairs.
I think that the boats back there can contribute to Morro Bay, and they do contribute to Morro Bay. And rather than, because some boats are unsightly and abandoned, throw all the boats out and axe everybody's hopes, the 30 or so people who have hopes tied up back there, I request that Morro Bay, if they are indeed planning to annex that section of the bay, establish it as a regulated mooring area. So there is a place for those boats, because I understand there's a shortage of moorings already in Morro Bay, and if we lose 30 more, that'll contribute to the problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. Jamie Irons, Morro Bay residents. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the outfall lease for the Morro Bay Power Plant. I'd like to note that I am an employee at Morro Bay Power Plant, and prior to being employed there, I was a resident of Morro Bay. I believe that even following employment with Duke or whatever the owner might be, I will continue to be a resident of Morro Bay. Though the opposition of the outfall lease or even the power plant itself is prevalent, I think there's a considerable voice for the plant. And I would also like to express the openness to coexist. We've coexisted for 50 years as a power plant and as an environment. I would like to say that we could, I guess my fear would be that we would be running everything out of the United States. As an example, the reality could very well be that we pop up power plants across the border in Mexico. The idea of responsibility, I would just like to emphasize that, and I would like to encourage all of you to be open to that. Look beyond what the lease is. The plant that's been there for 50 years, we're not doing too badly for a plant that's been here for 50 years. It's still a beautiful place. We could still survive another 50 if that happens. But it also takes people to be active and oppose that and expect a cleaner power plant, as people are. That's the responsible thing, and I would encourage you to do so as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Judy Vick, and I'm from Los Osos. And one of the things that Los Osos has come to learn is how important the community is. And so I'm here to just ask that you, as the City Council, remember your first obligation is really to listen to the community members in this community. Give them a chance to have a voice. It makes such a difference when the community is behind what you're doing and they feel heard. So I really encourage you to have an open discussion before making any final decision about this agreement with Duke Energy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Christian Beadle, resident of Morro Bay. I'd like to voice my support of the annexation of the Back Bay. I'd like to also make aware the City Council of the fact that December 31st is the official last date where the boats have permission to remain in that area. And there is about 35 boats, probably just a little bit under that, maybe 30 boats that whose owners will want to do something about them. That being the exact middle of wintertime, there is hardly any way to know what the conditions of the ocean, of storms, will be at that time. I've talked to several people that have boats out there and are figuring they'll have to go down to Avila, and I just see that as a potential hazard. People going in the middle of winter, who knows what the swells are, who knows what the conditions will be. Because fish and game, some official in Monterey or wherever they may be located, determined that that would be the end date. And I think that particularly with the annexation proposal going on, maybe the council has an ability to request an extension at least through to summertime, when at least to ensure the safety of the vessels that will have to be relocated if that does occur, and of also the people. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I saw somebody just come in who was one of our 2020 people. Robin. Why don't you come to the podium, Robin? Did. We presented these earlier as our thank you for all the hard work that all of you did, and we appreciate very much your being a part of that. I'm glad you came. Okay, we'll close the public comment. Anybody have any responses to some of the comments?
I have one.
Bill, okay.
If I remember correctly, and Mr. Alger can probably set me straight, a number of years ago there was a movement on the part of Fish and Game to lease out that area of water and actually put honest-to-goodness inspected moorings in there, and there was some discussion between, I believe, the Yacht Club and Associated Pacific and some other people as to who might run it. But if I'm not mistaken, that all went away when they read the lease and found that their agreement with State Lands doesn't allow that to happen. So if State Lands maybe were to change their mind, somebody might be able to operate legitimate moorings there. I'm not sure what the going rate for moorings is right now. Is that correct, Mr. Algert, so far?
I think as far as a setting up a legal permitted mooring area, I think you got to the core of the issue, that the State Lands Commission lease with Fish and Game would have to be amended, and so that would require Fish and Game to work with them in that regard. And I think at this point, Fish and Game has made the determination that the vessels in the area need to be removed.
A question, too, on that. It seems to me that in reading the notice and everything that preceded this, that we are trying to work on an individual...
And I think there is some flexibility in how that money is specifically used as we get into the process.
Okay. I had a question on the survey results. I know the survey's been happening about the voting issues, the sales tax and everything. Do we know when we'll get the results on that?
Actually, I don't know exactly when we'll get the results. I've been asked a number of times about the survey and for copies of the questions and that sort of thing. And what we've told people up till now is that the results or the survey itself, we don't want to distribute the questions until we're certain that the sampling has been completed.
Right.
I think the actual process of making the contacts in the community has taken longer in terms of days than the survey company had anticipated, so we're waiting a little longer for our results as well.
Okay. What else? I think that were the only things that we needed to respond to right now. Certainly all your comments are heard and will be thought about by all of us.
I'm sorry, did you have another?
Sure.
Yeah, I saw Bruce writing furiously about the mobile home park regulation that. And so I was hoping that you were planning to follow up on that and enforcement of the easement and stuff.
Mayor and council members, I need to look into that particular code reference to see what we did with it in the new zoning ordinance. But I can tell you that the RV park that he's referring to was approved under the current zoning ordinance. So any questions or misgivings he may have of that project apply to this ordinance that it was approved under. That's because ours is working its way through the Coastal Commission. So that project that he referred to was approved under the existing code.
Okay. And are we thinking that it still complies with the existing code, or is he making suggestions that we need to go check?
I remember that project was appealed. It was approved and appealed by the Coastal Commission and ultimately approved by them. The only thing I'm commenting to is that I know it was approved under the current code, and I need to do some research to see if there.
Mayor, I think his question had to do with the 10-foot setback, and it has been an issue with the owner of that property. We have been trying to monitor. We don't have a code enforcement officer, but we have people that are driving by. They have put up a type of stake with a reflector to monitor where that 10-foot pole is, and when I have gone by, they've been okay with it, but I'll admit I have not been by in, I'd say, 3 weeks. So we'll do some more drive-by. We'll talk about it at staff. We told him if that's not working, then he's going to have to put up some other permanent issue. But that was the main one, was that 10-foot setback. And it is tough to do. It's not like a 10-foot setback where you build a home. It's there. What the problem is here, the 10-foot setback, people pull their motorhomes in. We've been assured by the manager that when they come in, they're given a sheet, a paper that says it has to be 10 feet. You have to stay outside that marker, that reflector. So it is something we're trying to deal with. It's not an easy issue, and we'll keep monitoring and make sure we stay on top of it. And like I said, if not, then we'll put some type of permanent boundary marker there that for sure they couldn't go beyond, some type of stake or something. So,
okay. Any other comments? All right. Want to take a break before we go to the rest of our business? We'll take a short break.